And with this, I would like to invite Dr. Venkat Kanubadi, our regional president, to come and start the program. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Position of officers, but still are interested to stay and listen to, that's perfectly fine. The main purpose here is to kind of a refresher course for ourselves as to what Swami wants us to do in these roles that he has given us for the time being, and how we should really live up to his expectations or guidelines. So that is just for our refreshing only. So we'll just start with identifying our officers from various centers, so that at least I get to know who is all here from different centers. Okay. I'll call the center name, and the officers from that center can stand up, and so that way rest of the officers and members can see who is present. And then in the evening, when we have a chance to have a little more interaction with all the officers of other centers, then we get to know each other a little more, and that will help us to take up activities through the organization in a more effective way. There is no substitute for knowing each other. Then we can communicate better, we can operate better. So that is one of the reasons for doing this particular topic here. I will start with Iowa. Officers from Des Moines. Okay, so officers from Iowa City. Sairam. Okay. Champaign. Officers. George is taking a nap. I know he's from Champaign. Okay. Chicago Metro. Jaime. Okay. Ganesh is probably. Okay. Vera. Chicago North Suburbs, Chicago Southeast, Quincy, anybody? Fort Wayne, Indiana. I think there is one out there, but he didn't get to come here yet. Indianapolis. I know Ramanamurthy is here, maybe he is busy with something. South Bend, no one from there. West Lafayette. Rajani and they were here, but I think they left. They had to go this morning. Ann Arbor. Syra. Cleveland East. Arun is here, but he may be still, Arun Venkateshan is probably practicing with some. Cleveland West, there's no one there. Columbus, Durjati, okay, side. That's good. Milwaukee, Sairam. There is not much representation from Greater Canton, although we have a status of a center for that. But yeah, that's not very good. Again, welcome to all of you. I didn't say that. Sairam. Yeah, Chicago West Suburbs. Yeah, I think when I flip the page, that probably gets skipped. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah, Twin City, Southfield. Oh, I missed the whole page here. Okay, sorry. Southfield, Michigan, Siron, Twin Cities, Minnesota, Siron, welcome. Yes. Nebraska, nobody here. Cincinnati, Dayton. Okay, I think I called Cleveland. Yeah, just missed that page. Very good. I think we covered everyone. I think Chicago Southeast. Yeah, we called, but I think you just came in, right? Okay, very good. Malkia is here. Anybody? Champagne, I told about you to everyone. You're taking a little nap. Yeah, I told about you, George, for everybody. They know that you're here. So, very good. And I'll just go with some of the information that Swami shared about this particular, and I see from Fort Wayne, Venkatrao is here. Okay. And Cleveland East, Arun Venkateshan, yeah? Okay. And Murali from, okay, very good. Swami has spent a lot of time with his students when he was taking courses for the students in Master of Business Administration. He spent a lot of time on topics in relation to leadership and how we should function as a leader. And so I'm going to quote most of the information from Swami only, and then go forward. The general definition for leadership is very universal, that leadership is the quality or the capacity to frame the plans that will succeed, and the ability to persuade the members of the group or the membership in the group to carry the work forward even in the face of difficulties. That is the general definition in the day-to-day world. But spiritual leadership is slightly different, and this is where Swami's message we had to take to heart. And especially all of you as officers have accepted this special role, and so you are chosen for the work. So this is a special privilege, so we should carry the work to the divine expectations. This is what Swami says about spiritual leadership. This has this essential ingredient of selflessness and the integrity of thought, word, and deed. So that puts the leadership in the spiritual organization apart from the leadership in the corporate world. There, they don't pay too much attention to this component. But Swami says that our purpose in serving through the organization is to act through selflessness and always maintain that integrity of thought, word, and deed. So he also said a great statement, a great aphorism regarding the leadership. In a nutshell, you can use the first slide. This is how he summarized. If we want to be good officers, and be leaders in our centers, in the organization, and carry Swami's mission and the work, because it is a great change of time. You know, this is the time of great changes, not only in the environment, in the ecology, in the world, and this is the time of shifting, transformation from the age of Kali to the golden age. So the roles that you're going to play are very, very significant. Even though we think, oh, our center is small, what can I do? Not necessarily, but we have to remember whatever role, whatever size of the center doesn't matter. We are still working in the global mission of Swami's work to bring this golden age to manifestation. So that is the role that is given to us as officers. So that's why Swami has taken time to explain what that is all about. So he summarized that as a good leader, a spiritual leader, has this in that order also. He has to be before he can do other things. He has to have that certain integrity, certain character, certain, do and then set a self-example. So there is certain core fundamental foundation to be a leader. That is the one, you say, Swami said, to be. To be is the source of leadership. We have to be that highly integrated, selfless person as a leadership. So that is, and then once we have that component, then we want to go to the next level of doing the work. So to do is the style of leadership. So the work can be done, but each leader can have a way to accomplish that. That is individual talent, individual ability to see and then go forward. So Swami says, once you have that integrity and you are the you are able to be the leader, then you can have a style that you can develop that can accomplish the purpose. And then Swami says, to have that ability to have your own style, then you have to have the number three quality, which is to see, meaning ability to envision the bigger picture. What is that you want to accomplish through this role? And what is it that is expected of me as the leader in this position? And so that ability to envision the whole picture and then ability to frame the plans accordingly, and that is also a requirement. And then last is the one, it's not the least, certainly, even though it's given as ability to communicate. To tell doesn't mean ordering people around. So it is the ability to communicate what your vision is, what you want to accomplish through your role as an officer, either a service coordinator or a devotional coordinator or a president, vice president, you know, any role that is given to us, how we want to accomplish that particular thing through proper communication. So Swami then expounded quite a bit on this these qualities to be a good leader. And then when we go to that to be component of it, besides that two great qualities of selflessness and the integrity, which is also called character, we have to have, Swami says, the other qualities of courage. Courage to make the decisions. Sometimes, you know, you're put in a position, these are the components of the to be part of the leadership, the requirements of the good leader. So besides those, the selflessness component, Swami also expanded somewhat on that, that there should be unshakable faith in the divinity. Only then you can go forward. Otherwise, you will be always shaky. If you don't have that conviction, then you cannot be a good leader. In this particular situation, it says you have to have absolute faith in the divine. That is a requirement. And then we should be able to integrate those five values that always Swami embodies and also tells us through personal example, that satya, dharma, shanti, prema, ahimsa. They're not just the words, but we have to really contemplate on them and how to make them as part of ourselves, as officers, as leaders. That is part of the selflessness. And then under the courage, Swami talked about the moral courage and also physical courage to carry, to make the decisions. A lot of times when, you know, we are forced to decide on something, if someone is opposing who is in greater power or greater position or with some more influence or this and that, then we are likely to falter, oh, maybe, you know, we'll take this easy route out. But that strength, the courage to decide, the moral strength, moral courage, that also comes with our faith in the divine and our integrity with our values. So that ability to make the decisions is part of leadership, the moral strength. Even many people may say this is not the right thing, but if from the heart you question yourself, introspect, contemplate, and then see this is going to be helpful for many, then we should be able to decide in favor of that. So this is what Swami says in terms of deciding. When you are forced to choose, then you always choose not what is best because you are the one who is deciding. That doesn't give any privilege of deciding in favor of this or that. It is, if it is benefiting for many, if it is beneficial for members at large, that is what should take precedence over the ego saying, oh, I said so, so then it has to be carried forward. No, the leader is not, spiritual leadership doesn't certainly qualify for that. That's why Swami says, the best leader is the one who is the best servant. So you have to be able to carry the work without that ego attachment. And for that decision making, the moral strength is very much important. And so you decide in the best interest of the center, majority of the people in the center, even if some strong-willed people are opposing, if you see clearly that it is benefiting, then you should go forward with that. And then the willpower. The willpower certainly comes to be tested when we are facing obstacles. And so Swami says, you have to have that determination, the willpower, the strength to carry the work in spite of obstacles. Once you decided, once you set the action plan in motion, so just because small obstacles showed up, you don't want to give up. So that is another quality. And then the initiative. The initiative is ability to look into various opportunities to complete the work in the face of any difficulties or obstacles. So the ability to steer, in face of obstacles is the initiative component. The leader should have that clarity and seize the opportunity to make this work manifest in spite of a seeming obstacle or thing of that nature. So Swami is very clear about the qualities that we need in the being component of the leadership. And then also this being component has some other components that I didn't put on the slide, that is the knowledge of the work that we are supposed to do. So we should know what our so-called job description is. If service coordinator, what are the guidelines that he has to or she has to follow to get the work going forward? Same thing. So all officers are encouraged to really pay attention to the guidelines that are provided through the national organization to the centers. And they all came directly from Swami. So a lot of times, you know, in a spiritual organization, people tend to think, I'm not, required to do anything, so may or may not look at the guidelines. But if you are really serious of serving the divine, you should really take to heart and go through the job description. You know, if you are paid outside in a corporate, you will do that, absolutely. Here, you're doing because you love it, because you want to do it. There is no transaction. It's not a business transaction. There is no pay except the incentive of experiencing the divinity yourself. That is the greatest incentive, being part of the universal mission, universal work. So for that, we should spend time to know exactly what all it involves, particular role. If I'm given the position of a president, or vice president, or service, devotion, education, we should know what all it involves. And then we should be open to learn from the elders in the organization or the center. They have served in the past as officers, now they may be members, but it's to have that ability to seek guidance from the elders or the ones with experience, previous experience, is also part of good leadership. So that openness, that has to be there. That way you get to know what to do for this particular work. And then also Swami says, once you begin to connect with the divine, you develop these intuitive skills, and in difficult circumstances, you will know how to navigate through the so-called obstacles or anything. So here is a special gift from the divine, that capacity to see beyond the five senses, the intuitive skills or the sixth sense. So if there are distractions, in carrying the work, there is a main issue and then some minor issues. We should be able to separate them and then focus on the main issue by knowing intuitively this is the main issue. Otherwise, getting distracted on the smaller stuff and then forgetting the main point, then that is part of a natural leadership. It comes as we progress on the spiritual path, but that becomes one of the good components of a spiritual leadership in the centers. And then Swami also says, besides the knowledge of the job, there is a need for the knowledge of the individual self, in the sense, not the liberation, self-realization level talk here, knowledge of the individual strengths and weaknesses. This is knowledge of the individual person themselves. What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? So those can be only developed through introspection. And then once we know, then we can understand the people around us, if we know our strengths and weaknesses. Otherwise, we may be running all over the people and then run into a lot of difficulties. So knowing ourselves, our strengths and weaknesses, and willingness to learn from others, those are all important components of knowing oneself also. And then, of course, as Swami mentioned, the best way to know oneself is through introspection and contemplation. Are my thoughts, words, and deeds are in alignment? Are they pure? Do I have enough patience and perseverance? Am I really honest with all that I do? So all the other things we can keep asking ourselves. Do I have those qualities to be the leader? So that becomes part of the knowing oneself, knowledge of self. So once we have this ability, then the style of leadership to do part comes when we go to the initial slide. When we have that initial slide, we have number two as doing. This is part of the leadership that really deals, ability to deal with the members. So dealing with the people is an essential component of leadership. So here comes the task of implementing the purpose or the goal and everything. So here generally they're described as the task, the group, and the individual members. We have to deal with all these components when it comes to doing part. So what is the entire work that I'm supposed to lead? So the that is again the knowledge of the job, but here you can categorize as the task, knowing the entire task, just not one component of it, but the all areas of. So you'll be able to define the task, make a plan, ability to allocate the work among the people based on the individual talents and everything, and then ability to oversee the quality of work. And all that, this is all related to the task portion of it. And then the dealing with a group as a group, then we should lead by personal example. You cannot simply sit and throw orders and not able to take anything. See, if a good leader will be a backup for all portions of the work. You say you allocate some work for someone, and there is a little gap in the work, you should be able to fill in. You should be always be able to complete the work. So you should be the backbone for everything. So you should be able to lead by example, personal example. You should also exhibit personal discipline. You cannot simply say, you know, everybody show up this time and you never show up and things like that. Those are not going to help. And then also give a sense of purpose for the work that we are trying to do. When people see a purpose behind it or the link to the global purpose, they are more likely to carry it forward. So it is, everybody generally remembers Swami, you know, this is Swami's work. That is a general reminder, but the specific purpose in that particular task can be reminded by the group leader. So that helps. And then, as I mentioned, ability to delegate to the right people. So you should know the strengths and weaknesses of your group members also. Otherwise, you will be delegating the work to, just because you have to delegate, you delegate to somebody who just sleeps over that, then you cannot get anything done. It's because he feels he is not equipped to do that, or she is not equipped to do that, then they'll kind of postpone or not carry it quickly forward. So a good leader will spend time to know the members in the group and their strengths and weaknesses. And also he has the ability to, goodness to notice the good work that is being put forth by the members, and then should give timely recognition for the work. You should be willing to at least appreciate and acknowledge the good work that is being carried by the ones that you delegated the work. So simply don't take it for granted. And then, and also, if there are any mistakes, you should be willing to take the responsibility. So that is another thing. Sometimes, you know, we are only willing to take credit, but when somebody says there is a mistake, then we are trying to find, you know, whom we can point the finger to. But a good leader is always willing to give credit to the members who are doing the work, but willing to take the responsibility for the any shortcomings. That is the quality of a good spiritual leader. So Swami says that should be an essential component of a good spiritual leader. And then again, a good leader will be acting as part of the team. He won't be bossing around. He is part of the team. He's just leading, but he's part of the team, not bossing around, sitting somewhere. So that is another different. And always, as I mentioned before, knowing the people in your own group by name and greeting them always pleasantly, happy. You know, being happy. If you project yourself as a, you know, happy person, then more likely then people are going to pay attention to what you say, rather than, you know, always in a depressed look. So we don't, no matter what the task is, nothing is going to be bigger than the strength that we are given by the divine. So nothing is beyond our strength. So that kind of confidence and courage and strength has to be coming from within. And that's what Swami says. You know, you believe in yourself because you are divine, And I am only here as an external representation of your inner divinity. I am just reminding you of your strengths. So don't put yourself down, you know. So be confident. And so that is very important component of dealing with our members in the group. Now let me see. Next slide. So this is the component that I would like to spend a little time and also seek some input from all of you because we have only another 15 minutes or so. There are bound to be differences, and in our national center guidelines, they even address that, and then there were some general frequently asked questions from the council. They compiled the answers from Swami's message itself. So there are going to be differences, so this is what it is said in our national guideline. Differences of opinion are bound to arise within an organization, and the Sai organization is no exception. It is important to communicate openly and clearly about any differences of opinion. Communication does not mean just talking, just like we looked in the initial model. To talk doesn't mean just talking, it is communicating. It also means sincerely trying to understand the other person. So if questions or disagreements arise in the center regarding any matter, they should be discussed in the spirit of unity, harmony, and cooperation. And of course, this is a guideline, I'm just reading. If a consensus agreement is not reached in the center, president of the center may refer the matter to the regional coordinating committee and the regional officers for guidance. But Swami has some more advice on how to deal with the differences. But before we go to really handling those differences, some of the things that may contribute or enhance the problems of differences is some pitfalls in our leadership. So these are the common issues when, you know, leadership is lacking to be fully able to lead, is because either for one reason or the other, the leader is ignoring the issue. Again, the same thing, you know, it seems like too much problem facing some people or some issues, so then simply ignoring and thinking that if I give time, maybe they resolve. They are not going to resolve. And then the other is, of course, there is a feedback about some issue from the members to the president or other officers, and they simply deny it. They simply say, that is that person's idea, it is not valid. So we should be willing to investigate, you know, and then go into the details, find out. We cannot refute the feedback altogether as not good or not valid. Then we are not doing any justice to address the differences. Then sometimes we accept the feedback, but we have no intention to carry anything to do about it. So those are the things that we want to pay attention. Denial, we don't want to fall into that trap. Or then the third one is, if there is an issue, because it happened because of that, so we don't need to do anything about it. So blaming or shifting the responsibility for an issue doesn't solve the problem. So the blame can come in three different ways. Swami again mentions about this. Self-blame. People sometimes are self-critical too much. Oh, I'm not good enough for this and all that. That also is not very efficient way of dealing with the problem. And most commonly, people begin to blame others in the center or others anywhere. Then blaming the society in general. Oh, the society is so inconvenient to practice this moral value, so we may not be able to do it, you know. So we just want to transfer the responsibility, why we are not able to do certain good things, because of this, because of that, and then if there is disagreement about that in the center, then also we cannot resolve it because we are not really willing to take a good look at it as a possible way to resolve the issues. So we have to be really paying attention. Am I falling into any of this when there is some issue or some complaint or some feedback about something came to me? Am I really falling into any of these traps and not doing the work that is expected of me as the officer? And so once we have this ability to see through the issues, then we are likely to help out the differences in the center. So again, as I said, whenever there is doubt, this universal principle that Swami said, this is deciding what is the right thing to do, dharma. What is the dharma? What is the dharmic way to go about an issue here? So the guiding principle is, again, as I said in the very beginning, if it is beneficial for me, not just for myself or my close clan, but if it is beneficial for majority in the center, majority of the group, then that takes precedence over selfish interest or agenda. That should be the guiding principle. And so here, I want to show this slide that Swami's general guidelines that he gave to the office bearers in his address at various times to the office bearers in the organization. Again, you know, it all boils down to the same thing that we talked about. Do not seek to exercise authority over others. Seek rather chances to be useful to them. So that is the attitude of being of service. And then same thing he says again, be a servant of God, then all strength and joy will be added to you. Try to be a master, then you will arouse envy, hatred, anger, greed, and in everyone around you. So trying to be bossy is counterproductive, especially if you want to get things done. So we'll go to the next slide. Feel that you are an instrument in his hands. It's, we have to really believe this. A lot of times we may say that, yeah, Lord, let me be an instrument, but when it comes to ego clash, we quickly forget that. So it's a constant reminder, self-reminder we have to do ourselves. Let him shape you and use as he knows best. Office bearers in this organization are leaders who bear the brunt themselves, guides who walk along the path they wish others to take. They shall not command or punish. They can only persuade and advise. So this is again Swami's way of reminding, once you are chosen to take a leadership position, it's a blessing. It's a blessing from the divine, but comes with a little tag, a price, is that Swami always says, people throw stones only at the tree that bears fruit, not a barren tree. So if you are in a position that you are to take more responsible job, likely you will be criticized. Likely people will find fault with you. Likely they will try to do so many things. But we have to have the moral strength to carry the work, not paying attention to those criticisms. If there is any genuine value, we don't want to ignore. So that is another part. You know, see, sometimes when people criticize or some feedback comes, oh, this officer is like this, we want to examine it. We just simply don't want to dismiss it. But after having taken enough precautions, if there is no value to it, that's different. But we simply don't want to push it aside because it hurts our ego. That is not the right attitude. So that's what Swami is advising us. So this is the general guideline that Swami wants us to follow in terms of carrying our work. And again, you know, you're all given this beautiful task of doing Swami's work. So I hope and feel that you take this as a great privilege to be part of the global work that Swami is here to accomplish. And then we have few minutes. I just want to ask the officers if you have any comments or any questions. You know, if you have any particular differences in the centers that are very difficult to deal with, you can just mention in principle, then we can discuss outside this conference. But tonight also we'll have officers meeting, which is mainly to help each other meet, and then we can get to know each other. So we can help each other in carrying the work. You know, sometimes we can say, oh, we had this problem in our center. How did you, if you ever had anything like that, how did you handle that? Did you handle it? How did it turn out? So we can take help from each other and go forward and carry the work nicely. And so just please share your thoughts if you have any at this moment, and we can focus a little bit more tonight when they meet and greet. It's going to be very informal at the time. We can talk about it also. Sairam? Any comments? Yes, please.
Sairam, we are from Ames Des Moines Center in Iowa. So our center is a small center. So 3 years back, I came to the center, and I had an opportunity to serve this center as a service coordinator. So initially, when 2005, when I go to this center, there are about 7-8 families we regularly see in that center. So what I see is that means rather than be able to increase the strength of center, it dwindled, means the numbers go down and the newcomers are hard to get into center. So means there are a lot of Indian population at the same time and growing in the city, but we're not able to get into the soil fold. That feels sad. Are we not doing anything? What other centers may be, there are some ways to get, convey the message of Swami and get into the Swami's fold. I would like to.
Yeah, that is a good point. And for so long, Swami said, you don't have to publicize me or about my work. And I'll call the people when they're, ready for my message, and so it is more like his call. Now he is allowing us through the organization to go on and let that information be released to the public. So if we have a great programs like our EHV program, which is going to the community, without Swami's name, but the work is carried, what is done in SSE into the general community. Same thing. In service projects and others, when we carry through our center, then you may invite like-minded people, but if they're interested in the labels of, oh, we put our Red Cross name or our this church name, then we don't want to have any thing to do with that. But general people with service interest, then they may come and find out, oh, this group is doing this much, what is the force behind, and they may come and join, then you can tell them about it. So in a way that is consistent, not as publicizing per se, but openly sharing the information. But as far as the numbers in a given center, Swami says, don't worry about the numbers. Design your plans based on your resources. Don't choose plans that are too huge for you to implement. So if the center for some reason has decreased in size, then choose the plans that fit into that resources. Then Swami will see if that center has to do more work, people will come. But a discrete, proper way of sharing the information is perfectly fine at this time. So. Any other questions? Yes.
Sairam, as a small center, just trying to get a slate of officers that can has the ability to stay as active officers, because we can maybe fill a slate, but then people have other commitments. And then you're talking about the spine and like covering for each other, but it has to do with the issue of around maybe like, is there a wing that maybe we don't address, even if we consider ourselves a full center and not simply a study group or something?
So if I understand your question correctly, the center is small that you don't even have members enough to cover the slate of officers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when we submit them to the region, we have enough people on paper, but as far as regular attendance or just, I mean, I'm not trying to say it as a blame thing. Yeah, to cover all those bases. Yeah.
Oh, so to be able to function as a full-fledged center, you don't have the membership enough to do all the things that a full-fledged center can do. That's what you're saying. So basically, at that time, I think just focus on, you know, whatever you can do within the group. It may be, you know, less than 10 people, but, you know, to that extent, you plan. You don't, if you cannot do certain things weekly, you can do alternate weeks, and you know. So it's all right to tailor the programs to the needs of the center. You know, even though we encourage everything done at least weekly in terms of study circles and devotional programs, service at least once a month, things like that, there are some general guidelines. But again, Swami always says you should be, that is part of the leadership also, ability to see and tailor the programs to our needs in terms of that part. That is part of the ability to see what is all there and what can we accomplish with the resources we have, things like that. So, anything? If not, then, you know, anyway, tonight we'll have that officers meet and greet at that time. We'll spend some time to get to know each other, and then at the time, you know, we can also entertain some of the discussion, but we mostly want to focus on how we want to do the work throughout the region and through the next year in terms of general planning, you know. So, you know, you can just bring in any thoughts you have, and then we'll categorize into various things in terms of mini retreats, or workshops, this and that, or seva programs across the region. Like, you know, our young adults are involved in the Iowa relief, flood relief, and that can go on for several weeks or for some time. Things like that. They can be long-term projects, short-term projects, intermediate, and various things. Bring all the ideas. So we want to form certain plan for the next year through organization that can be dispensed through our centers. Centers are the real heart and soul of Sai organization, really. Sai Ram.